This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 11th, episode 1426, brought to us by the auditors. You guys, thank you. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along.
Wait a minute, that was the wrong one. I should be playing this one today.
Buenos días, están escuchando Caballos en la Mañana con Jamie, Glenn y Jen, la estación más divertida para todos los caballeros en el mundo. Buen día.
It's too fast. I can get it if you just slow down.
Well, you're
going to
have a chance in a few minutes here because Rosie's going to be joining us to chat a little bit. Well, she's going to be quizzing us about some horsey phrases that are in Spanish, and we have to guess what they are. We're going to play a little Spanish guessing game.
I'm going to nail this one.
You got to do better than me. I took French.
Yeah, if it comes to French or German, I'm out. But like, this is the one I took, and I feel like this is the one I should nail. I'm gonna probably miss everyone, but whatever.
And you know, she talks a damn fast. So she did say, when I talked to her about it, she said, "I'll try and talk slowly for you slow people." So,
thanks.
She did say that. So that'll be coming up in a little bit here. I thought that'd be fun. Hey, before we get to that. Kaylee Cuoco, of course, horse girl extraordinaire and Big Bang Theory star. We talked about the fact that she split from her tennis pro husband last September after 2 years of marriage. Well, the final divorce went through. You want to hear what the settlement was?
Yes. Hope she got screwed him.
Well, she did have a prenup. Wisely so, because I think he's only ever been ranked to like number 100 or something in tennis.
And
so.
I didn't mean screw him. I just meant I hope she didn't get screwed.
Well, no. I think it's the other way in this case. So they were married for 2 years. She signed her contract with the big contract with the Big Bang Theory after they got married. But because of the prenup, it was safe. And that's good because it was, I didn't realize it was this long. It was $1 million an episode for 72 episodes.
Oh my gosh.
So
that equals $72 million.
That is correct.
For that show?
The show's the number one show for the last 10 years, whether you like it or not. So.
It's just terrible. It's just
it's the best
terrible.
Show on TV. I don't want to hear
it's
it.
It's just awful.
Don't want to hear it. Watch it every day. So anyway, you want to hear what he got? So he gets $165,000. That's
and
right.
That's it.
That's it. Oh, also, she is going to cover two of his personal trainers at a cost of $195,000.
Good Lord.
And apparently he had some attorney fees at $55,000. She's going to pay those. And also legal services at $10,000. So you add all of those up and it basically comes out to about $250,000. Her net worth right now is $45 million.
$250,000 in most divorce circles would be insanity.
I know.
So he actually did well. Why can't you stay married more than 2 years? That's like the happy part is the 2 years, typically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this must have been downhill from day one, is all I can think of. And they never really, nobody's ever really said what, you know, what the problem was. But can you imagine now, she's a horse girl, but and she what has, what, two or three horses now. But can you imagine most horse girls, if can you imagine you if you had a net worth of $45 million? There would be more than two or three horses in your life.
Well, the thing is, she lives in like Los Angeles, and there cannot be very many boarding facilities in LA that she can access. And so the board must be $4,000 or $5,000 a month at these places. And she has like four or five horses.
I think she's at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, if I remember right. So, yeah, you're right. That can't be cheap. Oh, by the way, she also gets to keep their home in Tarzana. I don't know where that is. And a beach house in Santa Barbara, in addition to her house in Los Angeles. So I don't know where he's living, in a tent maybe, but...
I don't know, but the poor girl's, I feel bad. She's going to run out of money.
I know.
I'm terrible.
72?
She just doesn't have enough.
Yeah, I didn't know. I knew when they signed a deal it was $1 million per episode, but I didn't know it was for another 72 episodes. That's not a bad gig. I could do this for $1 million an episode. That'd be good.
Not me. I need more.
You need more? Yeah. Anyway, that's my Kaylee Cuoco news to make everybody jealous for the morning. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's show, first, I'm going to tell you that at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, you can get a 10-foot by 10-foot stall, I'm assuming this is a dry stall, for $496 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
Or you can go to the top end and get a wooden box stall in a pole barn with a tack locker. And it's $647 a month. But I, you know, that's not bad for Los Angeles.
I thought it'd be more than that.
Now you're going to pay $5,000 to pay, you know, somebody to clean it and turn the horse out and all that stuff. But that's for a dry stall.
That's just a dry stall. That doesn't include. Yeah, no. So, I mean, she has a trainer and all that. So let's see. And the Los Angeles Equestrian Center is huge.
Is it really?
Oh my. I drove by it on the way to Flag Is Up Farms, and I was like, what is that horse facility right there? And Chad was driving, so I'm Googling, like mapping where I am, and it was huge. It went on forever. But yeah, you're going to pay a trainer. You got to be in one of the trainer's barns and have employees and all that. Gosh, I'd still do it if I was her.
Well, I think
now
I'd
you know where
too.
To go stalk her.
Yeah, that's right. I can just maybe Jennifer, you can just call the barn like you did to get Charlie.
That's what I'll do. Yeah. That's what I'll do. Oh, this is my favorite part so far of the Los Angeles Equestrian Center website. They have all the different trainers listed who house their businesses there. And one of the business is Foran Performance Horses, who has reining horses. And I'm familiar with this because I am stalking Brian Unger. And Foran Performance Horses. Trainer Tom Foran, sport reining, R-E-I-G-H-N-I-N-G.
And their main name, it's spelled wrong.
It's right there on the trainer's page. Now, Baker Performance Horses, they have reining spelled correctly at there, so obviously they are much better at what they do.
Well, what do we got later today?
Coming up on today's show, following a fun-filled look at the latest horsey headlines, we're going to throw some water on the topic of dehydration in horses with the help of the Haggard Horse Health Report. And then wrapping up the show, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer has the European Report. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes out to all of our listeners. I was talking to some other podcasters yesterday, and we just have the best listeners in the world. But we got to talking. I'm doing a talk here for the American Horse Publications on podcasting, and we got to talking about why people listen to podcasts and why people don't listen to podcasts. And I want a list to help of our listeners, and I'm going to put a post on the auditor's page as well. I would like you, when you go to the barn, to ask people, everybody you see that's in your horsey circle, I want you to ask them if they listen to podcasts, and if they don't listen to podcasts, this is the question. Why don't they? I want to know what the barrier to entry is for podcasts. We're trying to determine that to try and come up with a list of maybe the top five reasons why people don't try it, or, you know, why they don't do it. It's too hard, whatever it is. We want to come up with a list. So if you'll do that for me, and then just drop me a note on Facebook or send me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com with the reasons that your friends gave about why they don't. Maybe they don't know what they are. Maybe whatever the reason that they don't is, send it to me. Or reasons, if you talk to a number of people. We would just be really interested to learn and try and get a handle on that and then figure out how we can overcome that to get more people listening. So I would love your help on that. That would be great.
I've been spotted, Glenn. My nest is no longer private. It's no longer a secluded, tucked away. Just kidding. It has a big sign out front with my name on it. So funny enough, on our auditors page, Glenn's like, did you see Ruby's post? I'm like, what are you talking about? She drove by your house. She found you. So Ruby lives in
found.
I've been found. Ruby, who lives in Tonopah, Nevada, who is that's got to be like 40 minutes from here, I guess, it delivers eggs because she's like a chicken girl in my neighborhood.
She has like 1,000 chickens. She makes you look like a piker.
Yeah, I'm coming for you, Ruby. So she took a picture of my farm sign. That's hilarious. Please stop by next time. Just come in and be like, dude,
I guarantee I know Ruby. She's, you know, she's like 16 years old and kind of, you know, she's a 16-year-old. And I guarantee you she drove by and went, oh, should I? Shouldn't I? She probably sat out in front of your house for 10 minutes debating. And I would have the same debate, I think. Wouldn't you?
Well, if you're going to take a picture of my house, at least get the right angle. The house in the picture is not even my house. That's my neighbor's house. So you got to get the straight on shot going all the way
either
down.
Either that
the
or she was driving by at 50 miles an hour, trying not to have you call the police. So
she drove by 6 or 7 times. No, yeah. Here's the deal, Ruby. If I walk outside and find you out in my pasture cleaning it, I'll give you a free glass of water. Yes, there's some wheelbarrows in the back, some mug forks. You can grab a flexing fork. I don't care. Use the good stuff. Go on out there. Clean the pasture. We'll be all good.
Hey, we've had a lot of people stop by here. You should get visitors, too. People want to meet
not?
Chili. You know, they want to meet Thor. Speaking of Chili, what's going on with Chili?
Oh, my gosh. Chili, bless his heart. Just weird. Just like nothing is normal with Chili. And for Chili, those who don't know, he's the lesson horse of mine. And it was a border and turned somewhat abandoned. And so now he's mine. And he's got all the weirdest things wrong with him. He's got like a dental disease. He's got massive joint ailments. But he's amazing. And he's really great. So, my veterinarian said, I've got this new product that you can try, that the company wants me to let people test it out that are having issues like Chili with his knee. He's got chronic arthritis in his knee that we've been aggressively treating. He's been on Sinubex 2, the Omega Alpha product. Anyway, can I give the name of it if I don't have a very nice thing to say about it?
No, don't. I would prefer you didn't.
Okay, it's just a joint supplement. Okay, it's just a tiny little scoop. Just feed it to him, and I thought, well, this is gonna work great and whatever, and it's free, which is my favorite price. So I'm giving it to him, and I start noticing, and he's on a bunch of other stuff, but he's been on a bunch of stuff pretty consistently, and I start noticing, oh my gosh, Chili has diarrhea. Then it's like, oh my God, Chili has massive diarrhea. Oh my God, Chili's pooping water all over the stall walls. Like
nothing worse than that. And welcome to, we hope you're enjoying your breakfast this morning at Starbucks.
Yeah. We're horse people. Horse diarrhea doesn't bother us. We can keep eating poop on our hands. So anyway, I don't know what's going on because he's on many things and there's many reasons. He's had diarrhea before. It's because he had too much sand. And so I've kept him on a sand treatment forever. And so it's not that. But you can't really get a sample because it's like water on the wall. It's so gross. So I went back to the drawing board. I'm like, okay, what have I done different? And at this point, I haven't realized it's maybe the supplement, you know. So I'm like, okay, I've got this guy. He's been on the hay. He's been on this. Okay, the one thing different is this joint supplement. So I get the joint supplement and I look at it, and you think like joint supplement should be. I'm moving around a lot, I'm banging because I'm reading the label right now. Sorry, Glenn. there's a warning label on the in tiny, tiny little language, basically that says, administer after or during the animal has eaten to reduce, and this is so tiny, I'm having trouble seeing it, reduce incidence of gastrointestinal upset. Like, liquid, in a joint
liquid diarrhea. Should it really say liquid diarrhea?
It should be like, this is going to turn your horse inside out. So I took him off of it immediately. You know, I just was playing with different things and I didn't think this first. Playing with different things, I took him off of it. 5 days he had diarrhea. Now it's totally gone. So once it like got out of his system,
there
I guess.
Yep.
So my vet was like, how's the joint supplement going? And I'm like, yeah, here's what you need to tell that company. Send this information on back. Like, we're talking massive abdominal
discomfort. I'm sorry. I want my horse to be limping a little bit rather than doing that all over the place.
And well, Chad came back and he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, Chili's lost a lot of weight. I'm like, I know. I'm trying to fix it. But Chili actually like kind of looks normal now.
He'll be walking normal, but he will die of dehydration.
Exactly.
Yes. There we go. Hey, I have one question on, since you have your joint supplement of dubious effectiveness with you. Does this particular product have an NASC seal on it?
What is an NASC seal?
It's a little yellow logo. It says NASC in the middle and it's yellow. And it's just a voluntary organization that supplement manufacturers belong to. And it's a way to see if the ingredients are really what's on the label, et cetera, et cetera. It's sort of a quality seal thing.
I don't see that. No. I mean, again, this is something they're asking veterinarians to test.
So it's kind of experimental.
So I think it's experimental, but I was reading the ingredients and it's like all of the glucosamine and all this. And I don't know if this is normal, but it all comes from shellfish. So, I mean,
maybe somebody's allergic to shellfish.
He has a shellfish allergy is what I was thinking.
That's what it is.
Thank God his face didn't swell up. But anyway, so.
He's done that before, hasn't he?
All right, I'm gonna move on now from diarrhea talk. Let's.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Have a nice cup of coffee. Sit and talk with us. Sorry, you ask.
We're gonna go from diarrhea talk right to Rosie. I'm sure she's thrilled. We have our auditor and friend of the show, Rosie Barillo, on this morning, and she has a little quiz for us. Hi, Rosie.
Buenos dias, everybody.
Buenos dias, amiga. ¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, gracias.
I love
that I came exactly after the diarrhea segment.
Yeah. We try and please, Rosie. So now we talked about doing a little challenge here because we have so many listeners that speak Spanish, and obviously you're from Dominican Republic, right?
I am.
So you speak Spanish and you do
so
it
So she's
very
Mexican,
quickly.
Glenn. She's Mexican.
Mexican. Yes. I took the long way into the country. I went from my country all the way around.
Yeah.
So now, if you heard earlier, I'll play a little bit of it. This is her.
Buenos días. Están escuchando Caballos en la Mañana con Jamie, Glenn y Jen.
We sound really good. We recorded that in the studio, huh? So,
yeah, it sounded like my sister, actually. But
so Rosie stopped by the studio, and we had a good time, and she got to ride Beaker before he left, and it was
It
was a lot of fun. So now, Rosie, you have
fun.
A quiz for us, right? And Jamie and I are going to guess. You have sayings in Spanish that involve something horsey, and we have to guess what they are.
Okay. Well, I decided to choose because I was rummaging through Horse Nation and I saw those no one ever said that memes. So I figured translate them into Spanish and you guys could kind of try to figure out what they are.
Okay.
So we'll start with the first one.
Already.
And I'll go slow, Jamie, because I know I go too fast when I speak Spanish.
Hablar despacio. Hablar despacio.
Despacio. Exactly.
I think I'm doomed here. I think French.
I know. Jamie's doing great already.
Yeah.
That's the one term I learned when I was like just that means speak slower.
Yeah.
Somebody taught me how to say that. Hablar despacio.
Nice. So here's the first one. Me encanta cuando mi caballo se rueda en el lodo después de un baño.
That's too long. Me encanta. Say that again.
Can you say it again?
Me encanta cuando mi caballo se rueda en el lodo después de un baño.
My horse has diarrhea all over the walls.
No.
No. Nope. I missed the middle part, but I think you said something about I sing when my horse, and then I couldn't get any more.
Would you like me to give you the answer now?
Yes.
And me encanta actually means I love. You're thinking of cantando, which is singing.
Cantar. I was thinking cantar. Sorry. Too much.
So I love it when my horse rolls in the mud after a bath.
Ah, okay. I thought you said baño was like he had to poop.
I think I was closer.
You were closer, Glenn. You were closer.
You were closer. You were in the general area.
Yeah, exactly.
You were good. All right. So second one is me encanta cuando mi yegua está en celo.
Cuando mi yegua
está en celo.
You go first this time. I have to think about it.
Okay, you got to say it again.
Me encanta cuando mi yegua está en celo.
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I love it when... I can't even come up with something funny. This is too stressful. Glenn. This
She's
is like taking a test.
Out here.
I'm like writing stuff down. I'm nervous. I'm getting sweaty palms.
I love
You're
it.
You're not in school.
Yeah, like
this is a test. I love it when my horse jumps 6 feet into a manure pit.
No.
No? Not it.
I love it when my mare is in heat.
I can't believe
yegua is mare in Spanish.
What is it again? What's mare again?
Yegua.
Yegua?
Yegua.
Jegua. Jegua.
Jegua.
Jegua.
That stupid yegua.
How do you say that stupid yegua in Spanish?
Idiota yegua.
Idiota yegua. I cannot speak Spanish. This is bad.
Idiota yegua.
All right.
Okay, so this one, I'll give you one more. And this one, I'm sure everyone has dealt with this before. Me encanta cuando mi caballo actúa travieso en frente del juez.
I love it when my horse pees in front of the judge.
Oh, my God, you almost got it so close. Same difference. When he acts naughty in front of the judge. Good going,
How
Jamie.
Did you do that?
I act naughty.
Hey, you got the first and last part. Yes, he's acting naughty.
Well, peeing in front of the judge is acting
perfect.
Naughty, so I think you do get that one.
Yeah. She did. She got it.
Did God, you hear how surprised Rosie was that you got one? Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was really surprised. Like,
I was rooted for her.
I was like,
come on,
sweating.
Jamie, you got it.
I need to go outside. I need to cool off. Like, that was taking a test, and I get too nervous.
Well, Rosie, we appreciate the Spanish lesson.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
What, one of these, we're going to have the Rosie do like the Spanish segment where she, you know, you come on and you do something in Spanish like once a month. And then Jamie
yeah.
and I, can, we can go to the bathroom and, you know, we can get coffee. And then when we come, the problem is I couldn't edit it. So I wouldn't know what you were saying. So you could be saying anything. You could be saying Jamie and Glenn suck. This is the worst show in the world. You could do anything.
Who's going to know?
No, I love you guys too much. I can write you a transcript.
Okay. Me encanta Jamie y Glenn.
Perfecto, perfecto.
I know that word. I know what that one means.
Yes.
Thanks, Rosie.
Can oh, thank you, guys. Have a wonderful show.
Hey, Rosie, happy day after your birthday.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes, feliz cumpleaños. You.
Hey, Rosie, you get this.
Gracias.
And you didn't even get
chili. Oh, my God, I love chili. I love chili. I love them.
All right, thanks, Rosie.
Hasta mañana.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Hasta mañana.
She's a trip.
You know, the speaking Spanish, when I was in Spain, I would not speak Spanish to anybody because I'm embarrassed.
Because they laughed at you?
Probably because I expect people to laugh at me. And I mean, I was much more brushed up on it back then. But then I went to Portugal and they speak really bad Spanish too. So I would speak bad
right
Spanish
in.
To the people in Portuguese and they would speak it back to me. And it was like all was right in the world.
That's funny. I know that a couple of listeners and we haven't talked about them lately have been asking about Lucky.
Oh, they have. They're so nice. I just want to let you guys know that I have nothing to tell because I think he's all better.
Like, the ears are better?
Yeah, I mean, I still clean him out and he's still on the antibiotics and he's still on the drops 3 days a week. I mean, so he's still on all the medication, but I think, I mean, he's like all good. And you know what's happening a lot now? With his ears feeling better. And I wonder if this is related. He is barking all the time. Like nonstop basset hound barking and howling. And I wonder if just because his ears feel better and he's like, it doesn't hurt to like put that pressure out, you know, because it's pressure. It's loud. It is like, I'll record it today. When he barks two times, when I get on the gator, which I do to go take the hay in the fields every night, or I'm getting on a horse, it's the second I take the horse up to the mounting block, he starts barking. And I think he's just nervous or something. Like, have better faith in me, dude. I'll be okay, sort of, maybe. You know, it all did kind of start when I broke my foot. So maybe he knows something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that he's just worried about you.
Yeah. So anyway, he's doing great. And I haven't had any problems with the ears. I clean them out and they're still disgusting, but they're not pussy and bloody like they were. So, wow, I've talked all sorts of gross stuff today.
Yes, you've been entertaining this morning.
Blood, pus, and diarrhea.
Thank you to all the listeners who donated to Lucky's Care. We really appreciate all of you.
You guys saved him. You saved him. Yeah. I mean,
without you, we're not sure Lucky'd be here today. So,
you know, Chad was saying last night, he's like, wow, remember when we got that dog and we thought he would have a couple weeks. You know, he was 27 pounds when we adopted him. Can you guess how much he weighs now?
Oh, he's got to be 40.
He's 52 pounds.
What?
From 27 pounds to 52 pounds. And he doesn't.
God, I mean, legs on a bowling ball.
I know. He's a little chubby, but he's been on steroids for so long that I think it's really packed him up. But like, he doesn't look super fat. He just looks healthier. He looks like a basset hound now, but then it's not a skeleton, you know? Oh, you guys just saved him. Thank you guys. I love you all.
All right. Let's do, speaking of health, let's go. Are we talking gory, gross stuff?
I hope so. Let's keep it going.
We've had enough of that this morning.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we have Dr. Wittich from Haggard's as well with us this morning. And Dr. Wittich is one of the sport horse doctors that works over at Haggard's. Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I saying it right? Your last name?
Yes, Dr. Wittich. That's perfect.
Okay, good. So Dr. Wittich has a lot of riding history, including showing on the Hunter Jumper A circuit from New York to Florida, up and down the coast. And tell us a little bit more about yourself and your riding.
I was, I think, a typical kid. I was obsessed with horses. I think everybody is. My parents were convinced that after a couple of years, I was just going to get over it and move on to something else, potentially boys or whatever else you could get involved with. And unfortunately for them, that never happened. And so instead, we spent a lot of money on a lot of different horses and showing. And thankfully, they were very, very supportive. And so I basically lived and breathed horses from the time I was in, you know, eighth grade until up through college. I actually took my horses to college with me. So pretty inbred in me from the beginning.
Not to be whatever, but you're kind of still doing it. You're living and breathing horses right now.
Exactly. And I think that's the best part. Like, I feel like my parents finally feel like it paid off somehow, you know, instead of them dishing money out, some of it's actually coming in for liking horses. So unfortunately they're not getting any of it yet, but.
Well, you still have what's it, bills to pay with the student loans. So it'll pay off someday.
No kidding. Right.
Yeah, vet school's not free. No. Not at all. you've been to a lot of different colleges too. Just tell Glenn some of the schools you've been to.
Well, I did my undergrad at University of Findlay in Ohio and did equestrian studies as well as pre-veterinary medicine while I was there, which is how I was able to bring my horses. And I went to Texas A&M down in College Station for a master's program. And then I did vet school at the Ohio State University.
Wow, you hit all the big ones.
Yes, I tried.
Well, University of Findlay is a kind of an equine school. They must be very proud of you.
Yes.
That's great. Well, we had a question from a listener, and I think that a lot of us are kind of dealing with this time in the year coming up. The listener's name is Tabitha, and she wrote in to Jen and said, I live in a very rural part of South Texas where it gets extremely hot in the summer. I am in Phoenix. I feel you. My horse lives out 24/7 with other horses, and they all drink out of the same trough, so I can't tell how much he's drinking. How can I tell if my horse is dehydrated? And if he is, what should I do?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that you can tell if a horse is dehydrated. I think one of the most common ways is to do like a skin tent. A lot of horse owners, I think, know about this technique. You basically grab the skin on the neck between your thumb and forefinger and you just pinch it. And you basically count how long it stays tinted or wrinkled. And if it never goes away, then your horse is definitely dehydrated. If it goes down pretty quickly without staying tinted, then the horse is pretty well hydrated. That's probably the most common one for horse owners to be able to do on their own.
Is there a certain place on the neck that you should pinch versus another one? Where can you point us out for that?
Not really. It's basically anywhere that you would pinch the skin. It's basically just pulling the skin up to see how well hydrated the tissues are underneath. So I generally pinch, you know, about where you would give an IM injection. So if people are used to that, anywhere mid-neck, it's going to have the same effect.
Gotcha. So if your horse is dehydrated, what should I do?
Yeah. So that one's a little bit harder. Depending on the situation, it sounds like her horse is outside all the time. And so the biggest thing is going to be to obviously make sure that they have some kind of shade that's going to help with it. And potentially, depending on the pecking order out in the field, the horse might not be getting to the water trough if they're kind of low man on the pecking order. So sometimes adding another water trough. For other horses that aren't necessarily outside all the time, electrolytes really do help because it's almost like feeding them sugars and salt. And with people, we know that if we have foods with a lot of sodium, it encourages us to drink. And so it'll do similar things with your horse. And then obviously from a veterinary side of things, you can always give them IV fluids or oral fluids if the dehydration is bad enough.
Okay. Now, so we've got... If they're low man on the totem pole, we need another water trough because somebody might be guarding it, not letting them in and letting them have water. Always provide shade for your horse. And then, so if the horse is super dehydrated, obviously they're not going to be like, oh, you told me to drink, so I'll drink. So at what point do I go, oh my gosh, I need to run fluids on this horse and I need to call my veterinarian? What would be some of the indicators of needing to call the vet?
I would definitely say if they start looking a little bit dull or tired, a lot of times when we get dehydrated, like with people, you know, you kind of go into, you try to preserve all of your energy. So you get quieter, you get dull. Like I said, that skin tint will basically stay tinted and you'll have to rub it down for the skin to go back to normal. And a lot of times, if you check the manure, that'll be a good sign as well. Manure, when you're dehydrated, gets really, really hard and dry. And again, what we worry about in those situations is that they could potentially get an impaction or a polyp. So definitely, if you see really hard, dry manure, a really elevated skin tint, and the horse starts acting dull, I would definitely get a vet out to potentially run some fluids.
Okay, so dull looking. Now, what are some things that you should not do if your horse is dehydrated?
Try to force feed them water. So anything where, like, I've had people that try to get a hose and like shove a hose down a horse's mouth to try to get them to drink. That is definitely less than ideal. If you think that the horse needs to drink that badly, then you definitely need a veterinarian out to help look at them.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I've been a vet tech for a long time, and it shocks me how much. I'm like, you just basically tubed down into your horse's lungs and turned on the hose. Like, correct. You're an idiot. Exactly. Yeah, don't do that.
And then you get pneumonia, and the horse is way worse off, so just don't go there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another thing I've heard is people, you know, sometimes go, oh, he's colicking because he's dehydrated, let's give him some Banamine. Is that a bad idea?
Yeah, so that can actually, yes. Yeah, so depending on the situation, that can be a really bad idea. If you specifically think they're colicking because they're dehydrated, giving Banamine without a vet looking at them to give them fluids is a bad idea, because Banamine works directly on your kidneys. And if you're dehydrated, it's going to make the effects even worse, and you have a potential of causing kidney damage if you give Banamine when a horse is really dehydrated without adding fluids on top of it.
Gotcha. So people don't self-medicate in this situation.
Correct.
Again, I've been a vet tech for a while, so I'm just basically trying to like get you to say things that I've seen, which are
that
just...
That you know are a problem.
Yes, which are just shocking sometimes. Okay, now, Jennifer actually wanted me to ask you, can horses get heat stroke, and is heat stroke always kind of associated with dehydration?
They can get heat stroke. It's not necessarily always associated with dehydration. We see heat stroke actually a lot in our eventing horses, some endurance horses, and it's not always associated with dehydration. But if they're out running cross country and they're out in the heat and they overheat really easily, then they absolutely can have, you know, a heat problem without having dehydration specifically. One of the ways that we help cool horses down, though, is by giving them either oral or IV fluids to help cool their core temperature down, but that's not always just because of dehydration.
Gotcha. I have an older horse. He's 22, bless his heart, the Duke, and he, last summer, in this wonderful, beautiful Phoenix weather where it gets up to like 115, he has shade to stand in, but he's really a big boy, big solid guy. And he overheated a couple times. And I would know that he was overheating because the respiration rate, he was just breathing so hard, doing nothing but standing in the shade. What are some other ways that I could visibly see that my horse is in a heat, having a heat issue?
Like you were saying, respiration is one of the biggest issues. They obviously start having a hard time dealing with the heat. Sometimes they'll start excessively sweating, but they don't always have to. One of the worst things, if you ever start seeing like open mouth panting at all, that is obviously a very bad sign. Horses don't do that. They're not like dogs, where that's one of the ways that they get rid of heat. So if your horse starts doing that, that's a pretty significant sign that they're having some trouble dealing with the heat.
That being said, if anybody knows any boarding facilities up in Flagstaff area, let me know. Send me a message, because Duke's got to go for a couple months this summer. I'm not going to do it to him again. so that goes for you too, Dr. Wittich. If you know any place up in Flagstaff, let me know. So
I will keep my ears open.
any takeaways that we need? You know, what are some of the? Give us kind of a blanket overall thing to look for and be aware of, and some things to think about.
I just think knowing your horse is one of the biggest things. So knowing their personality, knowing what they normally look like, you know, potentially doing that skin tint on a regular basis so you know what your horse is normally. And just knowing that if you get to a point where you're thinking about medicating your horse, potentially think about having a vet out just to make sure that what you're doing is appropriate for them. We're professionals for a reason, so please use us.
She's got all those student loans for a reason, okay?
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Wittich, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. And it doesn't matter what I threw at you. You came right back with us. So you are welcome anytime.
Can I point out that her segment was a lot less gross than your first half hour?
Which is surprising. That's normally the ones that bring the growth.
Dr. Wittich, I had a horse get diarrhea because of a supplement that we were sampling for my veterinarian. So I maybe talked about diarrhea painting the walls. And so
like he projectile just, diarrhea, not yeah. just diarrhea. Yeah.
So he gets a little
That's
sensitive.
Daily talk for us.
I'm like, Chad's home. My husband's been gone. I'm like, he's home for a couple of days. I'm like, can you help me scrub the bars? Thank you.
Oh, God.
That's so romantic.
That's where us horse husbands have to go, okay, dear, it's your hobby. I'm out.
Dr. Wittich, thank you very much. We hope to talk to you again very soon.
Thank you. I appreciate your having me.
Take care. That's funny. All right, let's hear
that
from
that segment's usually longer, but she was so good.
Yes.
And so concise.
She
and like,
got
this
it done.
Is what you do. Very good.
All right, let's hear about Haggard.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Haggard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
So you want a guy who won't try to move too fast. Girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle, and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, as fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. Ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossoms down below. Through the aspen and the sage to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide, baby, let's ride. I suppose I could be entertained just sitting here watching you. Watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like flies you ought to swat a few. If you wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, as fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. Ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossoms down below. Through the aspen and the sage to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide, baby, let's ride.
pressure takes your breath away. If you're caught up with emotion that you can't explain away, you can kiss me on the cheek and I will hold your hand. If it leads to something more, I will understand. Let's run above hoofs and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, that song was Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. And that song was called Let's Ride. Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we welcome you back on this Wednesday. It's so good to have you here. We have some news in the horse world, and we have a ton of listeners in Michigan. So all of you listeners in Michigan, there must have been 20 stories, including the New York Post put out this story about tail hacking is going on again. We've covered tail hacking stories around the country. Of course, that's where they come in the middle of the night in your pastures and cut your horse's tails off. Well, they've had 6 tail hacking cases have been reported in the last month in Michigan. The most recent one was involved 2 miniature ponies in Port Huron, which is 60 miles northeast of Detroit. You know, if you're going to hack tails and you don't know what you're doing, you would go after the minis because they seem less scary, right?
Wrong.
That's right. Some out of Detroit, another suburban Detroit, had 3 ponies that they use for kids' trail rides, had their tails hacked off, and apparently there's been just tons of cases across the country. So the police in Michigan are warning you to keep your eye out. And
how awful.
I know.
What a mean thing to do.
I know. And, you know, the article in the New York Post said, we don't know why they're doing it. Well, we do know why they're doing it. They sell it and they use it for horsehair, various horsehair jewelry and crafts and things like that. There's not a whole lot of market for horsehair other than that. So that's
well, fake tails too. So make sure if you got a fake tail on your thing, you're getting it from a reputable place and not some Etsy, you know,
right,
somebody's Etsy account.
Yeah. So anyway, keep an eye on that. I know we have a lot of listeners in Michigan.
Wow, that's terrible. Hey, so this is kind of bizarre. There's a race on May 10th yesterday at the Parks racetrack. And this horse, Change of Seasons, was scratched from the 4th race. And so nobody bet it because the horse was scratched. And, there, you know, you get some pretty salty betting guys, you know, racetrack people. That's kind of a lifestyle. So nobody's
way of saying it.
You know what I mean? So you got these handicappers and all these, you know, gamblers that did not bet on Change of Season. And lo and behold, the gates open and who wins the race? Change of Seasons.
The horse that was scratched?
The horse that was scratched. So apparently there was a late change and nobody was told that there was a late change, or he was listed as a scratch by accident, but nobody told change of season.
Which means nobody bet on him.
Yeah, nobody. And they bet on all these other horses and dumped their money into other horses.
You're one of those poor people on the backside of the track who owns two race horses that have never won a race ever. And here they win this race that nobody's bet on.
Nobody's bet on. I mean, because you can't bet on a scratched horse. Right. It just can't do that. They don't. That's not it. They don't take that. So Change of Seasons was not, nobody told Change of Seasons that he was scratched. And not only that, but like only in a situation like this would the horse win.
That's right.
I mean, not only to like make it come in fifth to where it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. No, of course, it's got to go out there and win.
I wonder what the track did.
They are saying that, well...
Do you pay off the next three?
The Equibase spokesperson said the mistake likely occurred because of information reported by the track. And guess who has been unable to be reached for comment?
Yeah, I bet
the track. I don't know what they did. I'm going to follow this because I'm curious to know, did they have to give everybody every... I mean, and what if it was like pick fours and there's tons of races on the tab?
Either that or you'd have... You'd almost... What I would think they would have done was take the next three, two, three, and four, and that would be your, you know, that's who become the winners. It's almost like this horse came in without a rider, right? It's just, you know, wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
Well, I'm going to put you in touch with the Parks racetrack and let you guys work that out, because that sounds like a pretty good idea.
Well, I got to tell you, there's been a Clydesdale that set a record. I got a couple of auction news here, and that was with the Kentucky Derby going on and everything out in St. Louis. They had held an auction, and one of the horses to go through was owned by JFP Equine of Waterloo. That's a great name. It sold the horse Torch, who's a four-year-old Clydesdale. This Clydesdale stands over 18 hands and weighs 2,000 pounds and sold for $60,000, which ties the all-time U.S. price record for a Clydesdale at auction set in 2014. There, he was bought by some buyers in Florida who plan to use Torch in a Clydesdale hitch of their own.
Wow.
What makes you want to spend $60,000 on a horse to use on a horse in one of your six horse hitch, probably?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's what was so special about this horse?
Well, it says Jim Poole, who started JFP Equine, who owns this company that sold the horse, says he has size, strength, style, and you couldn't paint his color better with a brush. I mean, he is beautiful. He has he looks like your typical Clydesdale.
Yeah, but what if they had like three other Clydesdales that aren't as nice? And now they're like...
Yeah, this one would stand out in a hitch of four, wouldn't it? It's like... Yeah,
it's
you're
like,
right.
Oh, this Clydesdale. And then, like the one in the back left.
Maybe you do it kind of unicorn style. You have four and then him in the front, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, and I have a solution to your lifelong dream. It just will require about a 3,000-mile car trip or truck trip with your trailer to Connecticut.
Okay.
The Connecticut, and I thought this was a joke at first because I saw it so many times on Facebook. The Connecticut Department of Agriculture is planning a horse auction to raise funds for the rehabilitation and care of 32 horses seized in February. And this actually is happening. I did verify it. So it... After the horses cleared the courts, they were taken to large animal rehabilitation facility, and that's partly run by the department there in Connecticut. Of the 32 horses available, are you ready? 11 of them are purebred gypsies, 5 are purebred Andalusians, and 10 are purebred Frisians.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yep. Yep. You can go to the DOAG website. And Jennifer, I put a link to the story. You can post that on Facebook. If you live in the Northeast, now I imagine that everybody and their uncle is going to be inquiring about this. I think it's an online auction, but I don't know for sure. Maybe we could find that out. But I was looking at the ages of the horses, and, you know, we've got 8, 3, 5. We got Andalusian here, a gray Andalusian at 5 years old, another Andalusian at 9 years old, another Andalusian at 3, 4, 7. So you have youngsters. Usually, a lot of times when you see auctions like this, it's because it was a rescue that went under, and they have older horses, right? These are all younger. I think the oldest horse I see on this list is 13.
I wonder what happened. Like, just
yeah.
Why?
It was a breeding facility called Fairy Tale Equine that ran into trouble, and they seized the horses. And apparently, it went through the courts because they're having the auction. But they're trying to recoup some of the cost of taking care of all these horses. Well, you know, it takes forever to go through courts. So, these were only seized in February, though. So that's not a bad. That's 2 months. That's not bad.
So basically what that means is they're not part of the evidence. They're already.
Yeah, there was.
They're
other
already
stuff.
Owned, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, I think there was other stuff there, too. But Jennifer will post a link to that. There's some cute, really cute
I'm looking
gypsies.
At the pictures.
Yeah, really cute gypsy. Some very thin. I mean, obviously, these horses are thin. They need some bittles. But yeah, there are
Gosh.
Pictures on there, too.
Oh! There's a mare in full. I need Casadora.
I thought I'd kill you with this story this morning.
Hey, honey.
Road trip.
Get a new horse.
Road trip.
We don't even have to go
with the trailer. Oh, it's a. I'll be gone for about 2 weeks because it takes like 4 days to drive there.
And gypsies all up for auction. Oh, Chad's in the room. We're going. That's got to be an illusion.
He has free flights now. You can go to Connecticut.
Yeah, we can fly free now.
And this isn't actually too far. The town here is, I think it's Nant.
No. Oh my gosh, bless
yeah, this,
these horses' hearts. Niantic. Look
this isn't
at,
too far from my brother. He could stay at his house.
One of the horses, Jenna, is so sad looking and being treated for Lyme disease and a tendon injury.
And guess where the large animal rehabilitation facility is? It's at the men's prison.
So, is it really?
Yep. Yeah. So it's called the Second Chance Program. So there you go.
I'm coming for you, Lautaro.
All your other horses are from prison. Why not another one?
It just makes sense. It's like they were meant to be.
That's right. That's right. Well, there you go. I solved your problem of your Andalusian, and who knows what they'll go for. I have no idea how exactly
well,
it works.
It looks like you just silently bid. Not that I've been poring over the bidding since... You showed me this.
I'm surprised you hadn't seen it. It's been posted about 100 times.
You know, I think I saw it and I thought it was like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Because
I thought that too.
There was some Andalusians that were in Los Angeles, if you remember, and I went and saw them. And the one that was left, it was not an Andalusian and it was about 100. So it wasn't quite what I was going for in the dream Andalusian department. It did get adopted happily. So,
but these actually look like Andalusians and they're young.
Yeah. Yeah. I need one.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to check that out. There, how did you do this?
You just did it. Wait a minute. What did I start? Isn't this how you got several of your other animals? Was me
this
doing
is
this?
All your fault. It's you that gets me all these damn animals. Like you're the reason I have Thor. And
Chad
then
is never gonna
throw
talk to
that
me again.
Into you're the kind of the reason I have Zeus because I got Thor.
We're gonna get a letter of resignation tomorrow. It'll be Chad will have forged it and signed your name saying Jamie's quitting the show. She can no longer be part of the show.
Oh, when the deputy comes around, Deputy Marie, who lives up the street, and she's the one who brought me all these damn chickens. He's like, no, go, get out. When does it tell a uniformed officer to get off
your property?
Get off
my property.
Get out. Go. Please. No. You cannot be friends.
I'm a lieutenant colonel. I outrank you. Off my property.
Get off my property, officer, deputy.
I wish I had that sound clip right now. One more for those people living in the Wyoming. I'm all full of places where you can get horses today.
Oh, no. More?
For the people living in Wyoming, the Wyoming Honor Farm by the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, is holding an adoption event in Riverton for the wild horses and burros. About 30 halter and saddle-started horses and 3 burros will be available for adoption. They can see the animals on May 20th before the event. And you can just look this up. It's Wyoming Honor Farm. It's located about 1 mile from Riverton. And also as a program that allows Wyoming Department of Corrections inmates to work with the animals, including gentling the wild horses. So this is another prison program. But now this one is interesting, and I don't know if it was the same way on yours. It says a covered four-horse trailer with a swing gate is required. Did they require four-horse trailers for you?
I don't remember, because when I got Thor, it was just a two horse with the swing gate, but they're pretty adamant on the swing gate.
Well, that's because they basically put the chutes up and run them in, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, that's funny because it's different. Like when I got there, there were other people that had trailers that didn't have swing gates, but these horses have been handled right. And they just loaded them normally.
Right.
You know, they didn't run them in, but obviously it's a little different when you're getting untouched Mustangs and ungentled Mustangs because they really didn't care. And then the second trailer I took was a four horse swing gate, but I locked them in the front. And they didn't care about that either. Whatever.
Yeah, but those were more broke. I know that other people have gone to get Mustangs and wild horses before. That's the way they do it.
They have to. I didn't know that had to have a four horse, but.
And if they're running them in, it makes sense about the four horse. It just gives them more room to, you know, to.
Freak out.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, there are three places you can get Andalusians, you can get Mustangs, you can get yourself a burro, whatever you want.
I got another one for you, a really wonderful horse that probably needs to come live in my house, and his name is Nyquist. he just got to Pimlico, so he is at Pimlico. He went out on the track this morning. I haven't got the news update since then because it probably just happened, but he was out there on the track in Pimlico.
All right, let's see how much our word of horse racing gets out, because we have Victoria from horseandcountry.tv from England with us this morning, as we do every week. Victoria, do you know who Nyquist is?
His name rings a bell, but I can't think. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. This is good to know, because you're actually a horse person in another country. So really, nobody else has any clue. Nyquist just won the Kentucky Derby here in the U.S. So he's the new hot horse to go on to the Triple Crown.
She's been busy. The Queen's having a party. There's stuff going on.
What day was the Kentucky Derby?
Last Saturday.
See, I was at badminton. I don't know what
they have the badminton horse trials. Well, we have the Kentucky Derby, so it's only fair. I bet she could tell you who won Rolex, though.
I can, even though I didn't get to. It's in Rolex, Kentucky. I think it might be Mikko Jong, but I didn't get to see him win badminton and the Rolex Grand Slam because I had a wedding to go to on the Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
Obviously non-horsey.
Who gets married badminton weekend in England? That's just a shame.
Half of them hadn't even heard of badminton, so there was no hope. They all preferred soccer instead of horses. There's no accounting for taste.
Well, you know, Michael Young, first of all, before we get started, have you been getting a lot of rain? Because I see that this is the first day of the Windsor horse show. And of course, the 90th birthday, there's going to be a big party, a big horsey event. I know that Monty Roberts is going to be there leading the way and for her birthday party. And of course, Chester Weber and a lot of people that we know here at the Horse Radio Network are over there. But the first day got rained out.
Yeah, absolutely. It should have been starting today and the Laurie Park is underwater, and the Queen's celebrations with 900 horses has been cancelled for tonight. But they're obviously hopeful that they'll be able to have the rest of the show.
That whole party they've been planning for years with the 900 horses has been postponed?
Just for tonight.
Oh,
so
my
I
God.
Think,
Can you
I
imagine
think
those performers?
They're not happy. Because for a while they were going to have the performance, but not let anybody park. So everybody would have to drive to a train station and then get the train to Windsor because it's quite near the actual showground. But they've obviously decided they can't do that either. And we've just been having really heavy downpours today. So I'm a bit worried about the rest of the show. Everybody's waiting for news to find out if it's going to go ahead tomorrow.
Let me ask you another question. Sorry, Jamie, I'm hijacking here, but I have all these questions. So yesterday, a friend of the driving radio show, Gloria Austin, who does segments for us, was driving through Europe, and she was coming up to the coast there in Europe, and she was heading toward the Channel. And then she happened to pass Chester Weber's huge lorry with the trailer behind hauling all the carriages. This thing must be 100 feet long between the two of them. And they apparently were heading to the same place. Now, do they take those huge lorries in the channel? How's that work?
Yes, they do. So, yes, and we have riders coming across from the continent and things, and they have to go through all the difficulties at Calais and Dover at the ports where I think lots of refugees try and climb on board.
I don't know. Most of us don't know about the channel. Matter of fact, I was talking to Wendy yesterday, and she didn't even realize the channel was open. So now tell us, is it a train? What do they do? What do you do?
Oh, you're testing me now. I don't really know. So we do have a tunnel that leads from Britain to France called the Eurotunnel, and that is a train. But I presume that you can also take cars underneath the tunnel. I've never done it. I just go and sit on a train. So when I think you've got horses coming to the continent, I think most of them come by ferry.
Okay.
Port, but yeah,
okay,
different mode of transport. But yeah, I think most of them get the ferry across.
Because otherwise, I was picturing a very big ass tunnel.
Yes, big enough for horse boxes, but no, most of them by boat.
Okay, got it. All right, I feel better now. All right, go on. Michael Young, we did talk about him on Monday, and
heard of him. Yeah. Who's that guy? What?
He's probably pretty. What do you do? I mean, he's at least he wins the Rolex Grand Slam in a year where you could turn around and then win the Olympics. So, but you know, otherwise, if this was an Olympic year, it'd be kind of like, oh, well, I won. What do I do now? You know,
yeah, exactly. He's just won everything. I think they have to invent five-star eventing just for him to do on his own, and the rest of the mere mortals can just compete at four-star.
I think that's how all the other riders feel right now, too.
Yeah, he was insane. And like, you know, I was sad to miss him, show jump, but that horse has never had more than 8 penalties at a 4-star event, as far as I could see, going back through his record. And so he was almost guaranteed to jump clear around there, and he had 2 fences in hand, so it was a little bit of a foregone conclusion. And it was made worse this year by the absence of people like Andrew Nicholson and William Fox Pitt, who are able to rival Mikel in the dress phase and then give him a run for his money. But he just led from start to finish, and nobody could come near, which just made it a little bit of a walkover.
Wasn't it the lowest dressage score ever at badminton?
Lowest finishing score. Okay. I don't know about dressage score, but nobody else has completed on such a low dressage score. So,
I am here to tell you that if you go to horseandcountry.tv and look at the article, you will see him smiling.
Which yes, indeed.
Often.
It's very hard at events like badminton. I don't know if you guys find the same at Kentucky, but in the old days, there would be, you know, 30 or 40 journalists with their notepads and maybe 1 or 2 film crews or radios. And now everybody wants a video. And so these poor riders finish their cross-country round or their show jumping round and then have to do interview after interview after interview when they're being asked the same question. So if you head to our website, Jenny didn't go for the obvious ones about winning the Rolex Grand Slam and just said, Mikel, how much do you love your horse right now? And we actually got him quite effusive. So, congratulations to Jenny Riddle. Managed to do what very few other people managed to do.
Yeah, it's tough
Mikel,
with
how, what size shoe do you wear? Well, yeah. I mean, like, throw anything at
him. Exactly. No, she's good. She gets a great rapport with the riders, so we're very lucky to have her.
Are you going to have the riders that we just talked about there, the William Fox Pitts, are we going to have them back for the Olympics?
We hope so. So William pulled out just before badminton a few weeks before because he had a fall at one of his other events and he just didn't feel ready. And then Andrew Nicholson, we also caught up with at badminton, even though he wasn't competing. And he was just saying that he's lost some of the flexion in his neck. And so he felt he wasn't fit enough to do a 12-minute cross-country course, and given the amount of falls and runouts and things that there were at this year's badminton, it was probably just as well, and hopefully we'll see him back another year.
I saw the video of the, I don't want to give her a shout out, I don't remember her name, the girl who fell into the ditch at the on the cross country with her horse and then just stepped off because there was a ledge there. She just stepped off the horse and the horse got out of his trouble and she managed to get out alive. Do you know who that was?
It was Danny Evans. So, yes, the horse. Vicarage B was certainly quite unpredictable.
That was, you're understating that. That was one scary looking fence.
It was. But bizarrely, like, it didn't look that different to me to previous years of Vicarage B. And I don't think they had it last year. And so I think it was a return. But I do remember coming up to that fence and being like, I have no idea which way you jump. This is very complicated. And yet this year it was just so much more influential than it ever has been before. So I'm not sure whether maybe the alternative route was so scary that people were still just going for the big crazy direct route. Whereas normally maybe other people would go the long route. And that's why there was more accidents this year. But yeah, quite a lot of drama at Vicarage B.
Now, this is the jump that Boyd got eliminated at. And this is also the jump, like, basically Buck and the other girl, Libby, who got through it, they went the long route. Did Michael Young go the direct route or the long route?
Yes, of course. You
know? Oh, my God.
Direct route. He just flew it. And when riders got it right, it jumped amazingly. Like, Paul Tapner is one that really flew it. Alex Huatian, the Chinese rider, just went the direct route and just kicked on and flew. And that is how to jump it. I think people were just a little bit hesitant about it. And they didn't throw their heart over first. And therefore, the horses were like, nah, if you're not sure, I'm not sure. And they all kind of decided not to bother.
God, it looks terrifying.
I was terrified of just jumping the ditch at the bottom, let alone the actual huge big slanting rails on top. So yeah, very brave riders for tackling it.
Yeah, well, you got to be a little mostly crazy to be riding in badminton anyway.
True.
Now, what I'm obsessed with this right now is the ponies. Oh my gosh. So they did a Royal Shetland pony race at Royal Windsor Racecourse in honor of the Queen's 90th birthday. And you must watch this video. Now, I guess what I read in your article. Yeah, they've renamed, like, all of the riders are wearing the Queen's silks and they're all riding horses named after the Queen's favorites. Are those horses the same color as the Queen's?
Sadly not, because there's a couple of skewbald ponies, piebald ponies, which I think you guys call paint ponies. Yes, indeed. So yes, we don't have, the Queen would not have any non-regulation colored thoroughbreds, but no, they were just named after them randomly. So okay, I don't really, just her favorite ones, from I think one from the year she was had her coronation, going right up to Estimate, who won the Ascot Gold Cup a few years back. So just her favorite horses over the years.
And these kids all look to be about 10. I mean, they're all so cute. And they're all about 12 and underhand ponies. These are little ponies. It's so
they're
cute.
Tiny.
With
yeah.
huge manes and huge forelocks flapping in the breeze.
Well, Shetland ponies are from the Shetland Islands in Scotland, so they're designed to be very strong and very hairy to keep them warm from the Arctic temperatures. So there you go.
Gotta now, is the... was the Queen there to witness this adorableness? Do you know?
I'm not sure if she was, because obviously there's so much going on this week. So I don't know whether she was there herself. But I hope she's seen the videos, because as I said in the story, she's a big fan of native ponies. She breeds, she has her own stud where they breed lots of natives, and she loves racing and she lives in Windsor. So I'm sure with those things combined, she would have really liked this race.
Yeah, I it seemed like it would be something right up her alley, since I know her so well. I just felt like it really spoke to her. Anyway, so what I loved too from your article is, first of all, the little boy that won. Oh my gosh, that kid rode his little butt off. I thought the pony was going to quit a couple times, and he just kept on kicking. I was like, the pony club kicks are coming. Bam, bam, bam. Get him, get him, get him. But his quote made me very happy. Tell everybody what he said after the race.
Oh, he was really enthusiastic. But yeah, he was just like, he loved every minute. And the pony has won lots of races for him and he loves him so much. And then he says, hopefully I might get to ride in the Royal Silks in a proper race one day.
So he wants to be a Queen's jockey. That's so cute.
And I hope he does. It's great that things like Shetland racing and pony racing is getting so many more young children into racing. It's really exciting for the sport.
Now, I have a question for you about the Royal Windsor. We actually applied for a press pass for, and keeping in mind it is the 90th birthday of the Queen this year, we actually applied for a press pass for David Saunders, who was the coachman to the Queen for 20 years and helped start this you know, combined driving events with Prince Philip. And we were denied.
So I am
assuming that you have to be a major network this year that everybody's there covering it.
Yeah, I presume so. It's on our biggest channel over here, so I'm not sure. I thought I was at a wedding this weekend. There's just so many weddings this month, I can't keep up. And so didn't apply for accreditation until the very last minute, and then thought, actually, I should probably go to Windsor at some point. And my press pass was sent to our cameraman's address a couple of hundred miles away, so I'm confused. But fortunately, it's rained off today anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, I figured that everybody that has a photographer camera or a press pass is going to want to be there this year.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think if the weather doesn't improve, I'm quite happy to watch at home on TV.
Well, you'll probably you'll see more.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like when you go to badminton as a press or you go to Rolex even. It was pouring so hard at Rolex that we actually went in about 11:30 to the press room where I have 7 TVs and I can see every rider and every jump. It was much better coverage than
that. Sounds better than badminton, which we have 3 TVs in the press office, at least.
Oh my gosh,
sitting.
You guys are being ripped off.
Divas.
I know, we
both
did.
Of you.
But one of them kept showing things like a bird sitting in a tree. And then you'd have the same horse on both screens. And we were like, can we see somebody else, please?
So, you know what? Yeah. You know what we had? We had people, we had the cameramen with their rags wiping the lenses of the cameras about every 2 seconds.
Oh dear, yeah. Yes, no.
You know what that's like.
So. For once, you guys had bad weather. And we had sunny weather. Just, that never happens.
I would like to point out that both you guys sitting up in your little thrones in the press box, some of us were down in the mud and the rain, slumming it to walking around out with the people. I am a person of the people. Glenn, I'm up in the dunes getting too wet.
I was with the people for till I got wet. And then I was in.
I'm like, where'd Glenn go? I text him. I'm like, where are you? He's like, oh, I'm in the press box.
Jennifer and I were up there nice and comfy and warm watching. Yeah, I get this picture. But you were hiding too. They apparently were showing it on the big screen in the stadium and everybody was under the cover of the stadium sitting in the seats watching.
Yeah. It took a half hour to sit down.
See, we're a little, that's, you know, we don't like rain as much as you guys do.
Yeah, no, and we've had more practice at it, but still, no, it wasn't great. But there was quite a few people getting heat stroke and like jumping into the lake at badminton. So,
let's talk a little bit, because it is the Queen's 90th birthday, about the Royal Windsor Horse Show. This is really a big deal. It's in her backyard, first of all, literally. And they do everything from jumping to Grand Prix, that, you know, one of her favorite things because of Prince Philip. He's a big driver and a carriage driver and a coachman. So they bring out they have a coaching show. And that's why Gloria Austin's going to be driving a coach there. And then with David Saunders, and then Chester Weber will be there with his coaches. So it's almost every horse thing you can imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's everything there in the display. And then during the show as well, there's just hundreds of different disciplines and classes all in one place. It's a really cool show to go to.
And do they have tea in the afternoon?
Not in the press office. I seem to remember they barely have tea and coffee, but I'm sure people do go and have a nice time. And there's good shopping and stuff. But there's been quite a lot of debate this year, because they always make Wednesday the free day, and And because there's some big names competing in the dressage, like Carl Hester and Charlotte Dujardin, and because this news has got out that you can come and there's great shopping and it's all free, all the free tickets got snapped up, and then people thought they could just rock up on the day and were told no. And so they were already dealing with nuclear fallout from that when they had to cancel the whole day anyway. So poor Windsor.
We've never had that problem here of having riots for people wanting to get into a horse show. That's never happened here.
The joys of things being held in the Queen's back garden, I guess.
It must be kind of cool, too, and very special to be there watching a horse show with Windsor Castle as the backdrop.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you get some really cool pictures as well. And it's just so surreal when you see the Queen just wandering around and she comes out to watch her ponies compete in the classies. And yeah, she's she's just there watching. And I remember I took my school friend to Royal Windsor years ago. And we were suddenly surrounded by paparazzi and guards. And she looked a little bit alarmed. And then I just looked up and went, oh, it's just the Queen. she couldn't believe that she was just standing about 6 feet away from us. It was really quite cool.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Victoria. Horseandcountry.tv. We enjoy you being here every week.
And
have fun with Her Majesty this week.
I will if I make it there. I will try.
All right. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.
See, I'm not the only one that sits in the press office and doesn't venture out into the world.
You sound like such a princess.
I wasn't the only one. Just saying.
Unreal.
Well, what else? Did we have anything else today? You want to wrap her up?
Let's wrap it up. Okay. My child has slept this whole time. Let's quit while we're ahead.
Yeah, anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with Mary Kitzmiller is here. And Stuart Pittman's going to be here because Mary is competing in the OTTB Challenge this year for later in the year. Her first thoroughbred that she's actually training. And she has some interesting things. I was talking to her yesterday and she's
going to kill that thing.
She's finding it a little challenging more than she has her Mustangs or anything else. So that should be interesting hearing about that tomorrow. Huh. And then Stuart's going to be on. We haven't told him yet, but the reason we're having him on is she wants to quiz him to find out who to bribe in the judges.
Yeah. She can, good luck with that.
Get that accomplished. But he'll be here and a bunch of other guests. And then Friday's Really Bad Ads Day, so get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. She needs some ads, so everybody take 5 minutes, go take a look at Craigslist and find some crappy ads, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Keep in mind, we have the Smooth Stride Jeans as the prize for this month, so you'll want to get your ads in today. That's it for today. We'll see you all tomorrow morning.
Have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld. Don't take any supplement that will give you watery diarrhea to paint the walls.
Started the show with that. Might as well end with that.
Anybody hungry? Come on, go get some breakfast.